Hey, here we are once again.
Yeah,
The hell
what's
day is it?
up?
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hopefully the guy next door is done trimming his hedges because
Yeah,
that
he
shit
was
was really fucking loud in here. And I was
Yeah.
just until like 2 minutes ago, and I'm like, dude, please stop with the bush. It's
How's
like,
volume? Is volume good, everybody?
yeah, it should be.
Okay.
I've been recording on this shit all day, so we recorded some movie review, we recorded a book review, we did all kind of shit.
Okay.
So, do you want to talk about the movie first, or do you want to talk about the creepy shit first?
We'll talk about the movie first.
Yeah, let's talk about the movie
Yeah, some
first.
poltergeist shit happened. We'll talk about it. I'll
Yeah,
let
well,
her. I'll,
that'll be like the teaser, like
yeah.
the
I'll let her tell the story.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the movie first,
Yeah.
like I said. All
Okay.
right. So this is another one that we found on Tubi. This is a 2020 movie called Scare Me. Now, what I did not know when I chose this movie, but found out when I was going to research this shit earlier today, was that there is yet another indie movie that came out in 2020 that was called Scare Me, and it was like the premise of it was very similar, except it was like a cabin instead of a campground, like, you know, with telling scary stories and shit. The weird thing about it is that when I was looking for, so most of the reviews that I found of it were of the other movie and not this one. The weird thing though is that I found some artwork that had the poster from this movie. It was like a DVD cover, but the pictures on the back of the DVD cover were from the other one.
Yeah, so there's evidence some confusion.
So
Okay.
I guess there's some confusion. Now the
Okay.
other one I haven't seen, like apparently it premiered at Sundance and I skimmed through some of the reviews and apparently not too bad. This one, this one is like ultra low budget. I
Yeah.
mean, not like Ouija Shark level, but maybe like a cheap porno level
Yeah.
budget, kinda. And it does kind of come across like
Not a
that.
cheap porno.
No, yeah,
Cheap porno has no budget. You just pay the girl. All right. You can do that in the
I
parking lot. You
guess
just with a lot lizard, and your phone.
it's realistic.
No,
It's real people.
it had a bigger budget than that. It's a homemade movie, you could tell, but it had some skill to it. It had good practical effects. Acting was good. Boobies were good. There
There was
was
a lot of boobies in
yeah, it's a
this.
boob man. Boob man made the movie it
He
look
was
like.
very, yeah, Tom was very happy
I
to
was
see,
going
like.
like, yeah, it's a boob man. Starts
Yeah,
off with goth girls with big boobs, fucking dressed up like witches, sacrificing some dude, cutting his eyeballs out. It looked pretty good.
they
Yeah.
actually, the practical effects in this were actually very good. I didn't think the acting was all that great. It's still
No.
like it was kind of amateurish.
Yeah, they're just making a movie.
But yeah, so basically, what the premise of the story now, okay. It didn't say in the description that it was an anthology movie, but I assumed when I read the description of it that it was going to be an anthology movie because basically the rundown was there's a bunch of college kids, they go to like a ghost story contest like out at a campground and they're trying and then it like turns into a real like they turn up in their own horror stories or something. So I assumed it was an anthology movie and it kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's structured very weirdly. It's
Yeah,
not
it.
structured like a standard anthology
Right.
movie.
There's no wraparound. There's nothing really like that. The movie just. I don't know. It's hard to follow. I didn't care, though. I just watched it. It was hilarious. It had some funny parts
Had
to
some
it. And
funny parts. It's like dumb,
yeah.
but the gore was good. There was
Yeah.
lots of titties.
Yeah. They weren't taking it seriously, so I didn't really take it that
It didn't
seriously
make
either.
a lot of sense,
No, I don't. It didn't make
but
any
well,
sense.
see,
They were making it up as they were going
I
along.
think that the wraparound, well, I mean, the wraparound was supposed to be the story with all the college kids telling each other the other stories, which you don't find out until the very end that the title of that is called Millennial Massacre.
Okay.
But in between, so like almost two-thirds of the movie is that.
Yeah.
So that's why for a long time, because they open with the titty witches,
Titty witches. That's what
like
it was.
cut. That's my new Riot Girl band.
Titty
It's a
witches.
throwback 90s Riot Girl band. It's called the Titty Witches.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
They were all at least C cup. Yeah.
which Tom always appreciates
I'm
because
gonna know which one's
he's like,
which.
whenever there's a horror movie and there's like a girl gets her top off in there, he's like, nah,
Yeah,
you
they better be
know,
big.
yeah, that's like what I mean. She's
Yeah.
kind of flat. But
Yeah.
yeah, so these ones all had a healthy.
They're going, your D's judgmental. I say, yeah. She's in a movie. They're not supposed to represent reality, you know what I mean? It's just supposed to represent, the cutting edge of titology.
Yeah. Cutting-edge technology.
Yeah.
So it opens with this, like, there's just a guy in a waiting room, and you assume that he's going in there for, like, some fetish shit, and, like, there's witches and titties and whatever, and then they end up cutting his eyeballs out, and then that ends up being...
The Eyes Wide Shut at his ass.
That's what I said, because somebody had, like, a mask up, which was kind of a cool, like, bird mask. I said, they're like going to Eyes Wide Shut his ass. But, yeah, so that happens, and you're just like, oh, okay, fair enough, and then that ends up being a story, and then they go right into the supposed wraparound. But like I said, the wraparound is pretty much the entire movie. So you have like all these people like interacting. They're going to the campsite. They're putting up the tents. They're interacting with this clearly very sketchy park ranger named Coop, who's kind of helpful at first, but you know he's evil because that's just how the shit works. And, you know, so you have that. And then finally, they sit down at the fire and they start telling each other stories. So there's like short stories in there. But I feel like one criticism of this movie, like I said, this is not great art. It's not even that good of a movie, but it was fairly entertaining.
It was free.
One criticism, it's too long.
It is too long.
It was an hour and 47 minutes.
It didn't need to be that long.
I feel like they could have just, I mean, I liked the short story segments. Like, you know, the one with the podcaster and the guy that comes to the door that's been shot. And then there was, actually, I think the best one was Eternal Slumber, I think it was called. With, like, the guy whose dog runs into the neighbor's yard and then, like, he looks in the window and sees the guy and, like, banging a gimp and then...
Yeah, that one was actually pretty good, too.
I liked that one.
Yeah.
But it's like, so those are, like, only a few minutes long. So I feel like those could have been taken out, and then like the part of them just at the campground should have just been the whole movie, even though it wouldn't have been that good a movie, because I think that the short stories kind of elevated
it. It's almost kind of like this movie was a group effort. It's almost like there were more than one team. It's like it might have been four or five different teams making movies.
I don't think it was, though, which is weird.
It seemed very uneven. Some of it was real good quality, the way it looked. Some of it didn't look that good, but and some of it was kind of creative. And other parts of it were just kind of meandering. It's like they shot a lot of material and they were fucking dedicated to use every fucking...
To use all of it.
All
and they wanted to find some way to put it all together.
Yeah. I think this movie could have really been saved in edit. A real tight edit. And a better flow would have made this movie even more fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's
but
like
it's
entertaining.
It's going all over the place.
But
it's
it
more
was.
Than one story. So it's difficult to get that... to go in at an even pace.
Yeah, just because you have...
Too many stories.
Well, it's not even so much that. It's just that the wraparound story is almost the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, throw in another short story. It's like, oh, now he's going to tell his story. And, like, I don't know. It's just really weird.
It didn't need a wraparound story or something.
They could have just made some more short films. And then just, they could have taken the wraparound part and made that way shorter and then just put it at like the beginning and the end and maybe little snippets in the middle and then added a couple more short films and then just made it a more standard anthology. Because for some, other than like the titty witches at the beginning and then the whole college kids within the campground and everything, I was like, wait, I thought this was an anthology. Maybe it's not an anthology. But then it was an anthology.
Like, what was that at the beginning? That was
it's
never,
like, who are these people?
That
now?
Was never addressed again. And then there were some times where it looked like, the way I remembered it, it seemed like some of the people at the damn campground in the wraparound story had killed each other.
Yeah, I was confused because some of the actors and actresses...
They looked alike.
Looked alike?
Yeah.
So some of the ones that were like in the stories, I'm like, wait, is this the person that was like in the wrapper? Because what the fuck is going on? Like, I wasn't really sure. Like, what
are they telling? Are they telling the story of something that they did, and that's why they're in the story?
Or they're putting themselves in the story? Yeah,
real,
that wasn't super.
It's not
clear.
Real clear what had happened. Each one telling some wild ass tale that really was. They're not important. The only one that kind of stuck out was the guy fucking looking through the other dude's window and seeing him fucking. Railing that dude in a booty, man. Fucking gimped out, and he's just fucking riding without mercy. That's another thing. This movie has no regard for any kind of PC shit, which I'm gonna give it fucking extra thumbs up for that, Because they probably wouldn't allow you to make a movie, make that anymore nowadays. I don't know.
Well, they did make it. This they is did from, make this it. This is from this year.
But a big Hollywood studio wouldn't allow that, I don't think. Then the dude goes in there to try to save the Gimp. It's really the highlight of the movie.
I think that was kind of the best story. Yeah, Some of the other stories were good, too, but I think that was kind of the best
Goes in to save the Gimp, and there's all these dead cats everywhere. He was looking for the cats, because there was, like, rewards for the cats. Or, no, he wasn't looking for the cats. He saw that people were looking for the cats.
Yeah, there was, like, posters on it. He was looking for his dog, because his dog ran into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, and it turns out, fucking freaky fucking rapist, Mr. Rapist, was feeding the Gimp all these fucking cats and dogs. They're all torn up. So he goes in there to try to save him. I'm not spoiling anything, okay? You guys aren't going to watch this shit, probably. So he goes in there and fucking cut the Gimp loose. You know what I mean? It's going to be all right, man. The Gimp turns on him and attacks him. Turns out it's a Gimp zombie.
Yeah, he's a Gimp zombie.
Yeah.
So that dude was like super freaky.
What happened after that.
I don't think anything happened after that.
Went to another story, didn't it?
I think that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Another thing, too, and I'm not entirely sure about this, but I was watching another review of this earlier. I think it was Happy Wax TV. I watch some of his reviews. Sometimes he's Canadian. And he said that the one story that the stoner guy tells about the babysitter and like the little kid that's like, I think it's called Demonic Presence, but presents like Christmas presents rather than presents like a presence in the room. So, that thing where that happened was like somebody goes up to the dad goes up to the room and the little kid is in the bed going, there's a monster in my closet. And then the dad goes in the closet, but the kid is in there. And then he turns around and then like the kid on the bed is like a demon. He's like, ah, like with white eyes and stuff. Now the other guy on Happy Wax TV, he said that had been the premise of a short film, like a very, quite a famous short film that went on YouTube. And he said that he wasn't sure that the filmmakers of this film credited, that person for kind of stealing their story idea. Because that's apparently like a pretty famous. And now that I'm like thinking about it, I was like, yeah, I do think I kind of remember maybe seeing that or seeing something with that concept or that idea. So he was pointing that out. I don't know if it's true or not. But I don't know if they, like, stole an idea and they were just, like... Because they did almost acknowledge it because the stoner is, like, telling the story and then the asshole park ranger keeps interrupting him, like, oh, this is what's going to happen and that's what's going to happen. So it's almost like they were acknowledging that they had stolen the idea from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But they didn't really, like, credit it. Maybe they did in the credits. I didn't notice.
What was funny is, like, just how uneven certain parts of it were. Like, the titty... It opens up with the titty witch is in the brothel, I guess, is what it was.
Or whatever.
I don't know what it's never really explained. He's paying to get some BDSM action, you know. And, that's really one of the best parts, highlights of the movie because, you know, nice boobs.
Because boobs.
They all looked good. And but it was shot pretty crappy. It was like it was done on your fucking phone.
Yeah.
It didn't, you know, there wasn't any kind of filters or fucking the light work wasn't, you know, anything special. Although I remember the score actually being okay.
I think it was actually.
It's a score kind of like a Carpenter type score.
It had a little bit of new retrowave shit.
Yeah, they were doing retrowave and shit. And then... later on, in the other stories, like when they would tell a story, there would actually be like titles would appear and like effects.
Yeah.
And the way it was shot was a lot better. So it was very uneven. So the quality kind of got better at certain parts. But throughout all of it, the gore special effects were actually pretty good, which is surprising. The makeup was pretty good.
I think the practical effects were the highlight of this.
Yeah, they spent money on them.
I mean, the eyeballs getting pulled out, like somebody got their like a thing through their chest and the heart and everything. It's like, so I feel like when they did gore effects, they looked really good.
It's almost kind of like a couple different production crews were working or they were just making stories as they went and decided to tie them together.
To tie them all together.
Something like that. It was like this was originally more than one movie.
I think maybe it was.
Might have been a couple of movies that they combined.
It's credited to one person. I think his name is Mark Stevens, like written and directed. So I don't know if these were just, maybe this was a way of, maybe he had made some short films earlier.
And way of using them.
And then he had made like this other film and it wasn't long enough. So he thought maybe I'll make it into an anthology and kind of put them together. Which, you know, that's an admirable, pursuit. But, like I said, if you're going to make an anthology, I kind of feel like it should be...
You got to have a tight edit.
paced better. Yeah. Like I said, it seemed kind of long, and it seemed like the wraparound was pretty much the entire movie was just, oh, by the way, I'm going to tell this story for 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they go back to the wraparound again.
And there's a lot of fucking, like, just banter between...
I could have done without that.
Yeah, it's just a lot of just, like, regular, hey, let's have some dialogue here. Let's do some Quentin Tarantino dialogue, and we'll just talk about some, you know, Doritos. Or some shit, you know? Yeah, Quentin would do, you know?
Yeah, like, although
you just have some girl talking about bellies and pot bellies and shit. And fucking, you give a fuck about your pot belly, man. Fucking,
I remember that scene from Pulp Fiction. Yeah, I don't know why, but that is one of the most memorable scenes of that movie.
Yeah, the only time when there was, like, useless banter, really, that was pretty good, Quentin Tarantino was, like, between fucking John Travolta and... what's his name? I don't want to say Samuel Adams.
that's the beer.
That's the beer. Yeah.
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson, you know, they're talking about stupid shit, you know, quarter pounders and shit. Some of that was kind of funny, but...
I think if you're going to do... I'm not, like, averse to having characters banter in movies, yeah. But a lot it's of that has good, to do though. With your actors and yeah. your screenwriter.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can pull it off, sometimes not so much. I mean, I know, particularly in horror movies, you do, like, want to get a sense of the characters. You do want to, like, at least get people to care a little bit about them so you don't want them to get killed, but it's like... This one, I don't even remember any of the characters' names other than the park ranger guy.
Yeah.
And I just remember that because I remember, like, the other Liz saying that. But I don't remember any of the other characters' names.
Talking about Tarantino, though. Tarantino could do banter between guys. He couldn't write female dialogue. I think that's what his
problem. A lot of guys have problems with that.
I think that's the problem.
You know, and it's some male novelists have a problem with that, too. Yeah. Not too badly, like, but I've read a couple books, like horror books that were written by men, where they had a female character and, like, what she was thinking, and I'm like, okay, you don't have any idea what the fuck's going on in there. But yeah, it's like, this is free on Tubi. If it sounds like something you'd be into, like I said, I'm not recommending it because, you know, don't come at me or anything. It's not great. It's kind of cheap, but the gore effects are good. It's got some funny shit in it. It's kind of entertaining. Like, I didn't get bored or anything. Like, I didn't be like, oh, fuck this, turn it off. Like, I have had a couple movies like that were just, like, really cheap that I couldn't sit through. So it didn't, like, ever just piss me off or make me want to turn it off or anything. But it could have been trimmed down to, like, 88 minutes.
Yeah, well, the material that they had wasn't bad. It's just that it wasn't really edited well.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, put together in a cohesive
package. It was playing very fast and loose with fucking storytelling. And they were just using the footage that he had, if you ask me.
That's kind of what it seems like. And maybe, I don't know if that's the case, but that is kind of how it came across. That they were like, hey, we have all these short films and we have this other footage, so let's, like, kind of throw it all together.
A tighter screenplay and a fucking better edit, you know, this guy could have, you know, potential.
Yeah.
You know. His influences were good.
Yeah.
I mean, there were little spots there that were like, oh, yeah, this is pretty, you know, I could watch a whole movie of that. But I guess for budgetary reasons, you couldn't really, you know, make a movie about the Gimp guy. And plus, you know, that is a Tarantino homage.
You know? It was big time.
And there was also the thing where there were some guys that were keeping a zombie girl down in a building and were having sex with it.
That's right.
And people thought that they were raping some captive girl. It was a zombie the whole time, though.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Was that that one?
A long time ago.
Was it Strangeland?
No. No.
I can't remember what it was.
It was Strangeland.
Was that was the one that Dee Snider directed, right?
No, not that one.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was that one.
I know what you're talking about.
This was
about,
like,
though.
2010, maybe.
Oh, okay, so it's fairly recent.
2010, 2009,
I think. I remember that premise, but I'm sure I probably saw it, but I can't remember.
Through
what.
Part of the movie, you know, they got it wrapped up in plastic and chained up in an abandoned building.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about.
And the way it's filmed, you think they got some girl captive down there. But it was a hot girl, but it was a hot zombie.
Hot zombie.
Yeah, she's hot. You know? I guess they washed her up or something. Well, you know, they showed her figure. You know what I mean? She looked like a normal girl, but she was a zombie.
Yeah.
They said that's the way I remembered. Haven't seen it in fucking forever.
Well, now we have to, like, look that shit up.
I didn't like it though.
Yeah.
Yeah, like halfway. You know, I'm watching the first half of it, and I'm just like, oh, come on, you know, this shit's over the top. You know, like, because it takes a long time to find out what is actually going on.
Right.
And they had agreed not to tell anybody that they had this zombie and they were going down there screwing it.
Well, and now that you know it's a zombie, it's like that first half of the movie is going to seem like interminable because you're like, I know, it's a zombie. Get on with it.
Yeah. Somebody in the audience might know what movie I'm talking about.
Oracle says there's such a thing as a hot zombie. There is a zombie erotica, so apparently some people think so. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, so it's on Tubi if you want to watch it. Like I said, don't come at me if you don't like it. It's not a fantastic movie, but it was an okay time waster. It just could have been a lot shorter. All right, so let's talk about the Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Not the movie, the actual Paranormal Activity.
Jane, tell a story from the very beginning. Okay, so... She's people more coherent. She saw it more than I did, actually.
As you guys know, I mean, because most of you have been with the show for a long time, and, you know, Tom had the poltergeist shit happen when he was a kid, and then we had some poltergeist activity happen here, probably like a few years ago.
Yeah.
But it hasn't really happened before that. Now, the weird thing is that...
Well, we had the TV stuff that would happen.
Yeah, and, but the weird thing is we hadn't thought about that for a while. Now, we were watching a movie about telekinesis, which is one of the ones that we're going to be, that's reviewing at the end of the week for the movie retrospective.
Yeah.
So we were thinking about that, and Tom said something while we were watching it to the effect, he was like, oh man, remember when the TV in the living room would come on by itself all the time?
Yeah.
And then we remembered that the TV in the living room, because we bought a new TV to go in the living room, and then we took the one in the living room and put it in our bedroom.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, well, that's, you know.
It's bigger.
Yeah, because it's bigger. So we were kind of like, well... That, you know, that was the TV that used to come on by itself all the time. It hasn't done that for a really long time.
Yeah, and I just thought that was awful weird.
That happened. Yeah. And then, guess what happened? Last night. What time was it when the first one happened? Because I was almost falling asleep, so it was probably like 10 or 10:30.
No, it was more like 11. Then, it was more like 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay, was it? Because I was half asleep.
We went to bed early about 10.
Yeah, I was watching Hoarders, and then I was like,
I had my headphones on.
I can't watch this anymore.
I had my headphones on. And I saw blue light, and I opened my eyes, and the damn television had turned on again.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned that, what was it, the day before?
Yeah, I think it was the day before.
Or maybe it was Friday night.
I think it was Friday night we were talking about that. Because we were talking about when we were watching the movie, because you said, oh, man, that shit didn't happen. And I said, that TV hasn't come on in a long time. And he said, oh, this is the same TV, because we moved it, remember?
Yeah. So Jenny was... a little bit of sleep.
So I was like half asleep.
And I said, Jenny, that TV turned back on.
And I was like, yeah, that's weird.
And she's like, oh, man.
That's weird.
And I went, and at the foot of the bed, there's one, what do you call that thing that we have at the foot of the bed?
I don't know. It's like a, it's not like a footstool, but
it's
like
a
long.
Couch that opens up, and you can sit on it.
It's like a foot locker, but it's like a couch, like a seat.
Yeah.
And it opens and you can push it. It's like, we have one of those at the foot of the bed that you can sit on and watch TV.
Well, that's where the remote was, so there's no way we hit that remote.
And Pookie wasn't in the room either, so she didn't step on it. And another thing, too, is that when we turned the TV on, we turned it on through the Xbox.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Well, you turn the Xbox on, and then you turn the
TV
on.
Right, yeah.
This came up, I don't know about the first time, but the second and third time, it came on through
the DirecTV. Well, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
So then the TV, okay, that TV turned on at about 11 o'clock. I said, Jenny, did that TV turn back on? And she's like, oh, no. And I went, yeah.
Because we were just talking about it. I think that's why.
Yeah. So I went down, got the remote off that thing and turned it off. I went back to listen to my headphones and fell asleep. And I didn't know it, but what time was it?
So I woke up at 5 a.m. because I had to go to the bathroom. So then I get back in bed and I'm just laying there. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going back to sleep tonight because that's what the fuck happens when you get old. 5:30... He was still asleep, and he kind of groaned in sleep, like, and he, like, rolled over and kind of, like, smacked me like that, and the TV came on again.
Yeah.
And it's bright. Like, when it comes on, it's, like, bright white blue.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it. And then, like I said, and he didn't wake up. So this was 5:30 in the morning. So I sit up, and I'm, I'm like, where the fuck is the remote? Because I didn't know where the fucking remote was. And then I noticed that not only was the TV on...
The cable was on.
The DirecTV cable box was on, and the sound bar was on.
Yeah.
And that's a different remote control. Yeah. That's not on the same remote control.
Yeah, so she turns all that shit off. And I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, he was still asleep at that point.
And then what, 6 o'clock it came back on again?
It was 6:30, or 6:20. It was 6:20.
So it came on, and I woke up for that one.
You woke up for that one because I woke
you. You told me that I turned it on. You said, I was growling and it turned on.
Yeah, you were in your sleep because you did the same thing again. Okay. You had done the same thing at 5:30. Like, yeah. You were asleep, but you were kind of like, and you rolled over and you kind of you didn't hit me, but your arm kind of went flop like that.
Yeah.
And then it came on, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And then you did the same thing at 6:20. You were like, like that. And then it came on again. And so then I woke you up. I was like, Tom, the TV came on again.
Yeah.
And then, the same thing. It was like fucking... I don't know. It was like really, really weird.
Yeah, I knew. And when you woke me up, that the third time that it came on, when you woke me up, I was dreaming. And
That's what I think.
What I was dreaming about?
Uh-oh,
it's the fucking damnedest thing. I had a dream that me and a couple of other guys were in some kind of workshop somewhere. And we were building a rifle. It was a futuristic rifle. It looked like something out of that thing from Blood Machines. It's like that. And I was watching in slow motion a burning propellant charge force a bullet down a barrel. And I was going, ugh, as I was watching it go down the barrel. And that's when it worked. And the reason why, and what was weird about the rifle that we were building is it wasn't metallic cartridge case rifle. We were using hypergolic fuel and injecting it into a chamber. And then it would self-ignite, and it would thrust like a damn rocket to push the fucking bullet out the barrel. It was a test rifle. It wasn't a real rifle. It was one you're just... I saw it in my mind.
This is a very specific dream you were having.
Yeah, well, you know me and firearms and firearm technology. I was fucking... There was no ignition system or anything. It was just... It had a magazine that was feeding projectiles up out of a magazine into a chamber that would seal itself off. It was kind of rotary.
Yeah.
And it was injecting hypergolic gas in there to fucking explode, and it was thrusted out like a rocket. And I was seeing it happen in slow motion. And that's what happened when the TV turned on.
See, it's you. That's what I'm saying.
I was watching it thrust down that damn barrel, this burning plasma behind it in real slow motion. And I kind of felt like... I wasn't seeing it happening in slow motion, like through a computer screen. It was like I had slowed time down and could see through the matter. Like I was almost kind of like in a...
Like Matrix bullet time, kind of?
Well, the rifle, yeah, like the Matrix something. The rifle was transparent. I could see right through it.
Neat.
You know what I mean? Through the barrel and everything, and see what was happening in there.
So you made the TV come on.
Somehow thinking about that caused it to turn the TV on.
I wonder what you were dreaming the first time.
I don't know.
Like at 5:30.
I don't know. So it's not any kind of violent thoughts or thoughts of any kind of fears. But it's funny that it started it when I wondered why it didn't, you know, why it didn't happen again. It'll happen again now. Because as soon as you start talking about it.
Well, yeah, because as soon as you talk about it. Because literally, because that's why I wasn't even like that... bothered, like, when you told me the first time, because I was like half asleep and I was like, oh man, whatever, like, you know what I mean, because I was tired. And also I was like, well, that figures, because we were talking about it and we're talking about, oh, remember when the TV used to come on all the time, because I used to, that TV used to be out in the living room, and I would go out in the kitchen in the morning to make coffee, and I'd be like, god damn it, that fucking TV is on again. And nobody used that TV in the living room. We never watched it. It was hardly ever on,
and it doesn't come on anymore.
And it doesn't come on anymore. And
but it hadn't in a year.
Longer? Yeah. When did we buy that other one? I can't remember.
It might be about a year.
It
now.
Was probably like a year ago. So,
and it hadn't turned on a long
and
time.
And it hadn't turned on by itself since we'd moved it into our bedroom. Yeah. And it actually, when it was in the living room, it had been like probably another year before that since it had like turned on by itself.
Yeah, the TV fucking episode thing, that went on for about, what, 3 months off and on.
It would, there was one run in there of like a month or two where it would be on
almost every day.
Like maybe every other day.
You wake up in the morning, the TV was on.
And it was on.
And it was just on a screensaver.
Yeah, and it was really weird. And it's just like, it got to a point where, I mean, it's creepy.
We thought maybe there was some kind of error.
Yeah, we asked the, like, one time when the cable guy came or the TV repair guy came. We asked him about it, and he looked at us like we were...
Yeah,
like we had underwear on
and
our heads.
And we now moved that into our bedroom. And I meant, see, the reason why I mentioned it is we saw that movie.
Yeah.
And afterwards I said, I had a feeling of that, like it was watching me again.
Yeah.
And then I thought of that TV.
Yeah.
And I said, it's funny how that TV hasn't turned on anymore.
And then?
And it turned on.
And then a couple days it started coming on. It better not. Tell it to stop, because it's like, if that keeps waking me up, I'm going to get really, really annoyed.
When it first came on last night, you know, at 11, I had that weird feeling of presence, but I shook it off.
Yeah.
Felt like it was watching me.
Yeah. I didn't feel like that. I just felt like, God fucking damn it. Now I can't sleep. Because it's fucking bright. And then I have to, like, go feeling around for the fucking remote because I didn't know where it was. What's funny is
this happening when I'm falling asleep or waking up.
Well, yeah, because you're like in a hypnagogic or hypnagogic.
And that's about the time I talk in my sleep, too, isn't it?
Yeah, usually. But I just thought it was so funny that, like, it was exactly like when you were, like, well, like when you rolled over, like, flopped over.
Yeah.
And then, dink! That blue light came on.
Yeah. It's not the conscious mind. It's some kind of an unconscious.
And I was like, shit.
And there's no way to understand how it does it.
I mean, you know, we just recently got Pookie to stop jumping on our stomachs in the middle of the night. She still does it every now and then. But, and now your poltergeist is going to be turning the TV on in the middle of the night, waking me up. Because like I said, it's super, super bright. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. As long as it's just the TV and it's not like shit falling off and breaking and all that kind of crap. Or the fucking doorbell.
Yes,
it did that before. And the garage door opened. We don't want that to fucking happen. Like, the big garage door opened. That kind of sucked. And the patio door opened, too. With the deadbolt still in it.
Yeah.
That just happened one time.
Yeah, it only happened once.
But still, it's like, you don't want that. It's like, in case somebody's wandered. It's not like anybody's wandering around our backyard, usually, but...
Yeah, somebody's there saying that this being's watching me. It's not. It's not an external being. It's the unconscious mind.
That's why I'm not really scared of it. It's him. Because I think it's him. It's
yeah,
him.
It was a lot worse when I was 12, with 13. Going through that fucking puberty phase, it was a lot worse. You know, they were throwing objects. People saw... Read Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist.
Yeah, there's all kind of crazy shit happening there.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it's just the TV popping on in the middle of the night, that's irritating, but you know.
The last time it's done anything really big was when Dimitri and Jen were over. And when it
with the remote control. Oh, yeah. and the horse statue.
The horse, when it threw the
horse
statue.
That was a different time.
It tore down the molding off the top of the kitchen cabinet.
I wasn't here for that. I was at work.
Yeah, that happened when my back was turned, and it sounded like a damn gunshot. Pow! Really loud. My fucking jumped out of my skin.
Yeah, it wrenched off the molding. Yeah.
Pulled it out by the...
On the cabinet.
Pulled it out by the fucking nails. And it did it quick. Like a, you know, split second. Boom! And what was weird is those fucking little nails on the end of that molding were all crooked like damn fucking spaghetti. And it didn't break the wooden molding, which was fucking flimsy.
Yeah, it was like bent out, wasn't it?
It pulled it out by that big old long rod of molding was about 6 feet long.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, an inch wide, just that flimsy shit. You could snap it with your hand. It pulled it out. It had three nails on either side, at least, and I think a couple in the center. It pulled it out in a single fucking stroke without breaking that wood. But it had those nails bent.
Yeah.
I had to straighten them all out with a hammer and tack it all back into place.
And it threw the two of the ceramic statues
at the same time
off of the top.
It must have threw them out about 7 feet.
Well, yeah, because
it hit
like
the ground the same time that the fucking molding popped off. It was just one event.
And there are more little ceramic statues up there other than those two, but those were the only two that moved.
And it was weird they didn't break.
I thought one of them did.
Just a little chip, but you know, you would think that they would have. They were wood. You think they would have shattered.
The weird thing about
it
is that
they were thrown down.
Is that when they came off of there, they came out onto, they fell onto the floor.
Yeah, they went into an arc.
Yeah, like that. Because if they'd fallen straight down, they would have fallen right on the stove.
Yeah, they couldn't fall straight down. There was no straight down. Remember?
Yeah.
How could they fall straight down?
Yeah.
They were a foot into on top of those things.
Right. I'm just saying that even if somebody said, oh, they got knocked off to the edge and then fell like that, they would have fallen onto the stovetop, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They fell like way out on the floor, like they got thrown.
Yeah.
So that was pretty weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
So yeah.
And that's been about 3 years, huh?
Yeah, that was a while back. It might have been longer than that because it was longer than that because I was still working.
Yeah.
I was still working at the print shop
and I
left there in the summer of 2016.
Okay.
So it must have happened before that.
And you didn't see that one.
No, I was at work that day.
Yeah.
And then you told me about it later.
Yeah. That was a fucking trip.
But yeah, so we'll report back if the TV keeps coming on. I'm going to be really annoyed if that fucking TV keeps coming on every couple of hours.
Yeah. It's RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis.
I know, but it's like, quit, because I can't think of any other reason, like, why it would just come on. Like I said, it's not like Pookie is stepping on the thing, because she wasn't, I don't think she was in the room. And even if she was, it's like, you would have to sit on the remote for the TV and the remote for the soundbar, at least, because those two are separate, right? So I don't even if she was, like, fucking with him, which I don't think she was, because you would hear her.
Well, what's the chances of that happening three times in one night?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
I didn't hear her in the room. She was in the living room.
It was a slight resurgence of it. Yeah. The mind, when we think of ourselves, we think of one person, but really your mind is a fucking, a conversation of several different fucking hemispheres all talking to each other, trying to come to a conclusion. Most of them are in your unconscious. This has all been proven because they've cutting people's brains apart.
Yeah.
And you don't operate the same. So those inner voices in your head, they're all you. They're just different aspects of you. Well, one of those back in there somehow can violate space-time in a weird fucking quantum physics kind of way. Oh, what's his name was talking about it?
Yeah.
Stuart Ameroff.
Yeah.
He was an anesthesiologist. If you want to know more about it, talk to Stuart Ameroff. But I saw Poltergeist Activity, wrote about it in Math Mountain Poltergeist. She wrote my story down. Aunt Lois and Red were there, you know, my cousin, and I saw it, not as intense as, say, like, what was reported from Enfield Poltergeist, but close. Didn't last as long.
Yeah, it lasted a couple weeks, but a lot of shit happened.
I thought it was some kind of a ghost. We all did for a while, but then, in that final few hours, I realized it wasn't a ghost at all. It's the unconscious mind doing it. It's psychokinesis.
Ken asked if you've ever tried to purposely do it.
Yeah, that's how I stopped it.
Yeah.
When I was...
We talked about that in the book. It's in the book.
I tried to actually do it by will, and then it stopped the entire... It stopped the entire event. Because when you try to do it by your own will, what it is you've now taken ownership of the phenomenon, and the phenomenon only worked when you were attributing it to an outside force. That's all. The only way I can explain it. It somehow resolves some kind of conflict in between certain hemispheres of your brain. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's me. And then it just goes away.
And then it went away, yeah.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, like, now, even though you're pretty sure it's you, it still does it every now and then. But it usually does it when you're sleeping or when you're, like, spaced out or when you're, like when you're zoned out, like, playing a video game or when you're asleep or something. It usually does it.
When I'm in altered states of consciousness, it'll kind of slip out every now and then.
Yeah.
But it's... It doesn't seem to be useful.
It's a poltergeist leak.
Yeah. You would think you could use it for combat or use it like what the Jedi use it for, but it doesn't really work that way. It doesn't. Maybe species that are evolved more highly than human beings, maybe on other planets, can do it, but not us, I don't think.
I know. See, wouldn't that be like an awesome superpower? But oh well.
You'd end up being like something out of Forbidden Planet. Everybody'd kill each other with it.
They would probably. So it's probably better that we can't wield it.
It's like scanners.
You'd make everyone's head explode.
It's a natural phenomenon. We don't really understand nature that well. It has something to do with physics.
Yeah.
Space-time. Reality isn't as real as we think it is. It's something like that. Or reality is what you perceive it to be in a certain way. Not all the times, but under certain circumstances.
Yeah.
It's like those Heisenberg uncertainty principles, you know. How can an object be in two places at once? Spooky action at a distance. That weird kind of shit. It's something happening in a higher dimensional plane.
Yeah.
I think. It's in a part of us must exist in a direction we can't point to, but that direction does exist. And because you're in that direction or that in that higher dimension, you're in some way touching these objects somehow. Yeah. You just don't realize it.
Beth said stuff always happened with her mom when she was overly stressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With me, it's more like when I'm kind of... Nowadays, when I'm zoning out or totally focused on something else.
Yeah.
Like, weird shit happened when I was playing the Mad Max video game, when I was just totally into it. I had a damn e-liquid measuring cup, like something you take NyQuil out of. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. It was weird, you know. I felt like some kind of weird wind, a wind that didn't that I didn't feel, but it looked like a wind blowing. It just looked like it, like a disturbance. And it's where the it was on a bookcase that had all the Blu-rays in it. And I know I left that little cup like on the second shelf from the top, and I saw it just streak straight down and hit the bottom shelf and hit and go brrr. It hit on its bottom perfectly and just rattled. And I paused and looked, and it was on the bottom shelf. I saw it out of the corner of my eye streak straight down. Well, it didn't come out through the shelf. It went right through them.
Yeah. It just suddenly decided that the shelves weren't there anymore.
Yeah, interpenetration of matter. You saw it all the time when the phenomenon first happened back in Mammoth Mountain. Objects would appear in a room. We were standing outside the door waiting for them to appear, and we'd open up, and there'd be something in there from another room. You know, yeah. Towels and pillows and shit from another room, or pieces of clothing. It'd lay things out, make smiley faces on the bed and shit with fucking towels, and throw things at you. And Lois and Red had the damn, they were sitting there and pillows flew up over their head and the fucking bedspread flew off the bed, wrapped around her legs. Lois said she felt it touch her. Said it felt like a damn cold, like a snake with a hand on it, go up her leg and around her waist and then just vanish. It was just an invisible force. She could kind of feel it.
Don't do that to me, okay?
Weird, huh? Seriously. She said it felt like it came up out of the ground and snaked up around her leg and around her waist and vanished in about a second and a half.
Yikes.
Yeah, she couldn't see anything. She just felt it.
I mean, some of the stuff, like I said, the TV coming on, that kind of stuff, that doesn't scare me because it's like, it's happened so often. And like, yeah. I said, I know it's you. So it's like, it's just the TV. It's not that big a deal. But even if I knew it was you, if it was something like you like somehow manifested like a creepy shadow person or... like it threw a brick at me from another room or something like that, then that would probably scare me.
Well, at the strongest that it ever was, the only thing that ever manifested was that damn kind of like a blue field, yeah. Like a mist. You could see it only from a distance. It was slightly luminescent, but it looked just like one of those things when you rub your eyes, you see colors in there.
Yeah, like a sunspot type of thing.
Just like that, but you could try to focus directly on it, and you'd had a problem seeing it. But if you looked a little bit to the side, you'd see it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Kind of like, now you have problems focusing in on an object in a darkened room.
Mm-hmm.
But if you scan your relax your eyes and scan them, you can see it.
Yeah.
Everybody could do that. You'd see it. It's like a blue field. And then another one that happened was kind of like a weird feeling of being watched up from a corner of a fucking ceiling. And you could see kind of like a round, bluish sphere. It was kind of bluish and clear. And it looked like it was unstable. If you tried to focus directly on it, it would vanish like your eyes were focusing through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you kind of looked to the side, you'd see it like a little round ball. Probably like the size of a softball, maybe? No. Maybe like a soccer ball. About like that big.
Yeah.
And it just, you had a feeling like you were being watched, you know?
From that ball.
Yeah. And then me and Red would sit there looking at it like, you see it? You go, yeah, I see it, you know? What is that thing? And Red's like, that's it. That's it. That's what's doing it.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And then it would be like, it's gone. And you know, we're like, because it would seem to like fade away. He's like, yeah, it's gone now. You know, just shit like that. And then you see it again later.
There he is again. Yeah, he's popping and looking at us.
It only did that about three or four times.
Stop it, dude.
It only did that one for like three or four times.
Yeah, I don't want some weird blue mist ball like watching me when I'm like in the back.
It was weird because it like it didn't look like a three-dimensional object that was there in space. It looked like an illusion. Like it looked just like you had stared at the sun too long.
Yeah.
But you know when you see that like that?
Yeah, and see like that leftover.
That leftover thing. Yeah. But the thing is normally that thing's jumping all over the room because it's on your eyeball.
It's on your eyeball,
this yeah. one is just like it's stuck there.
Okay.
You're stuck there. You
That's
know?
A good description.
That's what like, it's like.
Yeah, I can picture that.
And then when you try to focus your eyes directly on it to see it, it would fade away like you would, you know what I mean? Like for some reason your eye wasn't able to fucking see that, but maybe more in your peripheral vision it was a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't enough available light or something, you know what I mean? Or the image wasn't really there all the way in this dimension. It was something slightly in another dimension, I guess. That's the only way
Maybe he was just popping out of another dimension. Just being, hey, I'm just like popping into this dimension, just check and see what's going on in here.
I think that was just I think that was just a manifestation of it. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's just the way your brain was interpreting it. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's just where it was touching.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just where it was touching three-dimensional space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was just a point of perception. In other words, it was like a point of view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There wasn't anything there other than that's what it was seeing from. And, you know, it's kind of like an out-of-body experience, except it was your subconscious that was out-of-body.
Oracle said, I had a paranormal experience that included an organ playing itself while all the lights were on. That's pretty creepy, too.
Damn.
I don't... If I was sitting in this house by myself and, like, heard some fucking music coming from somewhere, I'd probably shit my pants, I have to say.
Yeah. Did it have a... It wasn't one of those player pianos, was it?
Does anybody even have a player piano anymore? Do young people even know what a player piano is?
I think all the people that thought about player pianos are dead.
Well, I'm still thinking about them. Yeah. Like, you know, not all the time, but I know what they are. She said he said it was a recital hall at my school. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll let you guys know if we have any more paranormal activity happen. Like I said, I'm going to be really upset if this fucking TV just keeps popping on.
Now you keep reminding me about it. Don't worry about it.
I know. Now that we can't, now the more I talk about it, the more likely it is to happen. Because I think that's why it started happening before, because we said something.
Yeah,
about
and the more you feed into it, the more the phenomena starts to ramp up, because it's kind of like you get your confidence built back up. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why it started back up again after all that time, because we were writing the book about it, so we were talking about it all the time. And you kept getting reminded, so then it started here.
Yeah, there's got to be like an element of faith, that more, you know, belief in it and faith that it is, that it can still do its thing, feeds it more into the phenomenon. It gets it would rapidly get stronger, but I don't know how strong it would get. I don't think it would get as strong as I was when I was 13.
Yeah.
You know.
Not like I said, not like scanners where you can blow someone's head up.
And I don't think I'm not sure exactly what the phenomena would look like. I mean, it's looking like it did. It's just not as recurrent.
Yeah. It just happens every now and then, and it's like minor stuff. Like
I said, it's just a lot smaller.
Just doors opening. Or
back when that shit was really rolling, okay, when it was really rolling, what you've seen so far in this house, you wouldn't have even noticed that.
Right.
Compared to the better phenomena. Like an object just being thrown into the room from another room. You know what I mean? And nobody there to throw it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, like just a TV coming on by itself a few times would probably wouldn't even register.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, yeah, well, we got all this other shit
now,
going.
Now, Mammoth, the TV would be on, and we'd notice that the fucking image would get all distorted, and you'd look, and you back in the days, they had these little dials that you turned.
Yeah.
And like the bottom one quarter of them, the bottom half of them would be showing through the bottom of the...
Yeah.
You know that... You could roll like the brightness tint, and the brightness, and the fucking vertical and the horizontal and shit. You'd look down there and you'd see like one or two of them moving slowly.
Yeah.
You know? That was some fucking creepy shit. Red went up there fucking... I saw that thing move.
It's fucking with the TV.
Yeah, the image was getting weird. It was weird. You'd see it moving, but it didn't seem to be affecting the screen to the same rate. You know? Because you could move that shit a small amount and get a big effect.
Yeah.
It looked like it was moving quite far, but not changing the screen that much. So it was affecting electronic, you know.
Yeah.
It affected, that's how I remembered it, though. It was a long time ago.
That's
maybe
true.
It didn't move that much. Weird.
Yeah. But yeah.
Matter of fact, did we even put that in the book?
I don't remember you telling me that before, so I don't remember if I put that in the book or not.
It was only like one or two times.
Yeah.
I had forgotten all about the Matchbox cars. So that went in the books.
Yeah, I did put that in the books. Because you remembered it in time. Because remember, you were talking to Red on the phone.
Yeah, Red was the one that reminded me of that.
And he said something about it. So we talked to them on the phone a lot before we wrote it, because they remembered stuff that you didn't remember and vice versa.
Yeah, Red's dead. He's dead now. It's too bad, because he would remember all kinds of shit that I'd forgotten.
Yeah, he died a couple years ago, wasn't it? That's kind of a shame.
Died of a heart attack.
Yep. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Like I said, we'll tell you guys, because we'll stream again tomorrow at 3, probably do another movie review or a sidetracks or something, and we'll let you know if we had any more poltergeist activity at the house. Oh, Pookie doesn't get all scared about it.
I don't think she noticed anything.
She probably didn't. She was just like, oh, the TV's on, because it's always on.
You see what we could do, if it keeps doing it, somehow put a camera on it while we're asleep.
Yeah, because Ken asked earlier if we had got anything ever on video, but we never have, I don't think, have we?
Well, you've seen how it does it.
No one's ever filming anything. Yeah, like, how could you catch happens.
That? You know, you couldn't catch it. Even back when I was 13, if you were to give me a modern, like, this modern fucking tablet, I'd have a hard time catching some of that stuff. It was so fast.
Yeah, because you're not really expecting it.
Right.
You know.
And it was almost kind of like the objects that moved, it was moving the ones you weren't, it would move the objects you weren't directly looking at at the time. Just like when that remote flew off that table in front of all four of us sitting there.
Yeah.
Nobody was actually looking at the remote.
Nobody was looking at it. Like, I was looking over it.
Yeah, over it, but they weren't looking at it.
Like, it was under my line of sight.
Yeah.
No one was looking right at it, no.
Yeah, it was weird.
I just saw it in mid-flight.
Yeah.
I didn't see it actually come up off the coffee table.
And it was always like that.
Yeah.
The closest thing I saw of anything actually starting to move is when I was backing out of that room and I was looking at that big pen sitting on that table. And I was looking right at it. But then the next thing I knew, I just saw it halfway across the room flying towards me. So I must have blinked.
Yeah.
And which makes me think, there's no way it could have had the sense of timing to go, when that motherfucker blinks, I'm going to move it. Okay? I don't think that's what's going on. I think that it can't move it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until you're not looking at it, it's now free to move. It has something to do with perception. You know what I mean? Who's perceiving it? Are you perceiving it, or is it perceiving it? If you're perceiving it, you're confirming its location and its place, you know what I mean? It's place in space. So maybe it's like too heavy, it can't interact with it. But as soon as you're not looking at it, it's in kind of a neutral zone of where it may be in several places. And once you're not looking at it, it's now on the same,
all the potentialities.
Yeah, it's in the same dimension that it's in. So you know what I mean? So then it can move it. It's usually you see it in flight or arriving.
Yeah.
From somewhere else.
And that's how it was with the remote. It's like basically, because it was only like a foot or two under my line of sight. So I didn't see it come off the table. I just saw it like when it was already flying.
Yeah.
And then saw it hit the floor.
But it's a weird phenomenon that people don't believe exists. It does exist. Eventually they'll figure it out. It probably playing with technology somehow.
Yeah, I wonder.
Some UFO shit.
UFO shit. Yeah. That's how they're getting here.
That's how they're getting here. Something like that. Wouldn't surprise me.
We're going to wrap it up. We'll see you guys again tomorrow at 3 p.m. EST, just like always. Probably, like I said, do another review or a movie or a sidetracks or whatever. So we'll see you guys next time. Bye.